The car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Quick word here for Bud Light. We truly appreciate the support of Bud Light. Bud Light supports Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. And Bud Light reminds you, look, call into the show at 713-780-3776 here on ESPN and have an opinion, have a take. Bud Light is the perfect beer for whatever happens. Bud Light, again, we thank you for your great support of soccer. And on behalf of Bud Light, personally, I thank them for what they have done helping bring soccer to the airwaves. And speaking of opinion, I got a guy who's got one right now. He's Root Sports color analyst, former Houston Dynamo defender. He is Eddie Robinson. Eddie, thank you for coming on the show.
Glenn, it is always a pleasure and always an honor for you to invite me.
An honor. I like that. All right. So you saw I called it last night, Villanova over UNC. We're still friends, right?
Next question.
Okay. Okay. So I started the show tonight, and I did say something that really impressed me. Now, look, I don't know the intricacies of basketball, but I will say I was thoroughly impressed by number one, the quality of the coaches, the character they had, the quality of these two teams. And in a world of individuals now, sports has really gone individual with social media and all the other things that are out there for the modern-day athlete. I just was totally thrilled with the team aspect of that NCAA final last night.
Well, I think that applies mostly to professional sports. The reason I love college sports is because of last night. Am I heartbroken because my alma mater, North Carolina, lost on the last day at buzzer beater? Absolutely. But the thing for me is, when you see the joy and the fight and the effort and the heart and desire that these kids play with, and what is it, about 2% of them will ever make millions of dollars doing it? That's why I love it so much, because they care. Because you watch an NBA game, and you've got guys running around that just lost by 40 points laughing with the other team.
Yeah, where are we going out at? Where are we going out after the game?
Yeah, and these college kids genuinely care, and that's what I love. And it's not just basketball; it's football, it's all college sports, soccer, and that's why I love it so much. And last night was a perfect example of why I follow college basketball, and I don't follow the NBA.
Yeah, and you know, for me, it was just what a great night for college basketball. What a great couple of days for Houston, Texas. And, it was just gripping stuff. What a finish to that game. All right, let's move it on. I want to jump around a number of different topics. We'll start MLS. We'll do some Dynamo. Then we'll jump into the international game. You know, I look at the Colorado Rapids here. A couple of changes they've made. Obviously, Tim Howard's going to be there. Jermaine Jones. I'm just thinking, you know, maybe Colorado's tired to be the whipping boys. Marco Papa, Shelkin Gashi also. They've got a couple of veterans now to blend with some of this younger talent. Are the Colorado Rapids going to be a little bit more of a challenge this year?
Yeah, without question. They're for real. My favorite one that you mentioned is Gashi. This is a guy that most MLS fans, especially the casual ones, won't know anything about. But when you get to watch him play, you will be impressed. I think this is a very good get for Colorado. That's assuming he stays healthy and stays on the field and plays, you know, 25 to 30 games this year. I think he's going to get his goals. I think he's going to lead the attack. I think, you know, when it's Tim Howard and Jermaine Jones, you're getting immediate locker room credibility, I think. Guys that are leaders, that have been around the block, that have been to Europe, that have played for the United States national teams in World Cups, that they have a leadership that I'm not sure was there last year. Even, you know, you look at a guy like Kevin Doyle, I'm not sure he's a leader. And I think when that team, when Colorado started losing last year, it kind of became a culture because they didn't have anybody to grab their teammates by the shirt and look them in the eye and say, let's go. And I think that's what you get with Ken Howard and Jermaine Jones.
Yeah. Now, who's that grab the collar of the shirt guy in the Dynamo that gets the team going? Who is it now?
Ooh, right now, we've seen it outwardly in Giles Barnes, especially in preseason, being very vocal where he wasn't in the past. The results haven't gone the Dynamo's way because they've had a few hiccups in-game that have cost goals. They should be sitting on probably at least 9 points right now. But I think that's really when you really need that person when things aren't going well, when you lose 3 or 4 in a row and teams are starting to separate themselves from you and you fall below that playoff line. I'm not sure the Dynamo really need that yet if they lose to Seattle this week, and then maybe. But you know, Giles Barnes right now is the vocal leader, of course. I think DeMarcus Beasley is probably the more quiet leader. I think he's one of the ones that the Dynamo players in the locker room respect more. When he comes to you and he says, hey, do this, do that, let's go, hold yourselves accountable, maybe. Right now, I think it's not really necessary for the Dynamo because I don't think they're in all that terrible of a spot.
Continuing on with Major League Soccer, we've seen a couple of very interesting incidents that in regards to fair play. We've seen a play where I believe it's New England goes on to win a game when people thought that they should have put the ball out of play. We've seen two incidences, I think Brad Davis with Michael Bradley and Toronto, Sporting Kansas City and Toronto was another one. Is it a fine line now, the sportsmanship and fair play? Because there's so many guys diving and feigning injury now. Has that changed sort of the mentality, you think, of putting a ball out of play, which used to be an automatic, which isn't anymore?
Yes, you're right, because players know and they see now that there are guys that are feigning injury for whatever reason. It's happening, and it's awful. And I go back to Jesse Marsh being so upset this weekend. I don't have a problem with it. If it's not a serious injury, if it is a serious injury, the players know that and they kick it out. I mean, go back to Boniat Garcia in the Dynamo's last game. I'm trying to remember who it was down for New York, but he kicked the ball out. And I was extremely impressed by that. And you mentioned it on air during the game. And players know, if it's serious, these guys are compassionate and they will kick the ball out. If it's not that serious, they're not going to do it because you know what? I don't think there's a single player, coach, or team in this league that has not played on. So I think for anyone to complain about that, it would be very quick and very easy to establish the hypocriticalness of those complaints. I don't have a problem with it. I think players should play on, but the players are smart enough and 99.9% of them compassionate enough that if there is a real serious injury, they can stop it. And the referees know that too. If the referees think something serious, not just a head injury, they can stop the game. And I don't have a problem with playing on.
Jesse Marsh did, and it is an interesting thing now in this day and age.
And I call him a hypocrite for it. Yeah. I call him a hypocrite for it.
Glenn Davis alongside Eddie Robinson, Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We continue on. Let's talk a little bit about the Seattle Sounders. Obviously, the big offseason move, Obafemi Martin's going to China. They get Jordan Morris, sort of the heir apparent there. They have trotted out now a four set in midfield with, on top of that, Clint Dempsey behind Nelson Valdez, who's a very different forward. He's kind of a banger, a penalty box guy. Aggressive guy, presses people, holds the ball up, maybe a little bit of a different player. How is Seattle different without Obafemi Martins?
Well, right now they're just not scoring the same number of goals. I think it's very easy to make an argument in every game that Seattle's played. If you go back and you watch the whole game, don't just watch the highlights, watch the whole game, that Seattle has been mostly dominant. And you could make an argument that on another day in any of their games, especially those losses, they probably should have won that game. This is I don't know if the term sleeping giant is what I would use, but this is one of those kind of snakes in the grass that, listen, their record does not accurately portray how they have played so far this season. That being said, they are in the Northeast, or excuse me, the Northwest, and the weather is nice and it's cool, and everyone in Houston and probably everyone listening to the show knows how warm it's been down here. Dynamo probably hoping that they're going to start getting this heat advantage coming back. So I don't think you're going to see as much movement from Seattle, and that's kind of been their thing, especially in the attacking third. It's just like the Dynamo. A lot of movement and interchangeable parts and guys moving in different places between the lines, between the midfielders, trying to make runs in behind. They're a very creative team going forward. They just haven't scored the goals, and that's where they've been over Sammy Martin. I think there's a couple that he would have scored.
But you're comfortable that they're creating chances, the goals will fall at some point?
Absolutely, without question.
Okay. Let's keep it moving here. Jeff Cameron, your former teammate, over the course of two games against Guatemala in World Cup qualifying, for me, head and shoulders, the best U.S. player.
Without question. Without question. Absolutely dumbfounded about why in the world, in the first game, last Friday, that Jurgen Klinsmann would play him at right back. He is your best center back. I think Jeff Cameron is the best center back the U.S. national team has in their player pool. There's no reason he should be at right back, especially when you think, or you put Michael Orozco at center back. The guy can't even get a league game for his club team in Mexico. So I would give anything to have an honest justification from Jurgen Klinsmann about why Orozco is playing center back. And then you look at DeAndre Ellis, the best right back the U.S. national team has, maybe unless he decides to put Fabian Johnson over there. But he's been playing well. He's finally getting minutes in England. And why is he playing right midfield? I don't get these things. Mitch Diskerud, the ESPN FC, did that anonymous poll of MLS players and asked about who was the most overrated. And Mitch Diskerud came out on top, and I couldn't agree more. I don't think he's done anything to justify his place in the team. And I think Jurgen Klinsmann, when he said in the post-game press conference that he didn't think he's played anyone out of position, kind of stuck his foot in his mouth, because the next game, when the U.S. came home to play Guatemala, those changes were made. Jeff Cameron was playing center back. DeAndre Yeldon was playing right back, and the result was an absolute thrashing. It's like Jurgen Klinsmann contradicted himself with his team selection, and it's frustrating. It's frustrating, but everybody that's saying, oh, Jurgen Klinsmann, if he doesn't do this or that, he's going to get fired. If he doesn't qualify for the World Cup, he's going to get fired. If he qualifies for the World Cup, no matter how they do it, he's not going to get fired. So it's frustrating, but Jeff Cameron's been so awesome and so good, and I love seeing him out, you know, having played with him and knowing what kind of player he is and his attitude, his work ethic. I'm extremely pleased for him.
Yeah, his maturity and professionalism really stood out to me, even in the first game, which was a calamity of errors early from the United States. Another center back, keeping in tune with center backs for the United States national team, and now this could potentially be a pairing, and it may be headed in this direction, I would think. Matt Miazga used to play for the New York Red Bulls. He's now 20 years old. Surprise starter for Chelsea in their 4-0 win against Aston Villa in the Premier League. Boy, this is a wonderful moment for him. He gets a debut. I think it was the perfect game for him, a lower-end team really struggling. A little less pressure in that one, not to say that there wasn't. But here's a guy that's really blossoming right now and could ultimately be a partner for Jeff Cameron.
It could be. I feel so bad for Brad Guzan and that Aston Villa team, but you can't use them as a measuring stick, because it's almost like those guys, they know they're done and they don't even care anymore. But like you said, this was a perfect game for Matt Miazga, because he got to play in the Premier League. He got to get league minutes, and he had a comfortable game. He was very good on the ball. He didn't make any mistakes. And we all know, you know, talking about professional sports, you having played professional soccer, how much confidence means to an individual. And we can talk about Alex when he first came to the Dynamo and that kind of change. And even Brian Sheen when he first came to San Jose, and what a little bit of confidence did for players. And that's something that he's just built. And now, as if Goose Hiddink and hopefully Antonio Conte is watching, the next, you know, Chelsea coach, that this is a kid you can trust. You can trust him. He's not going to make mistakes. He's going to be honest in his defending. He's going to be very smart and very sharp and very simple when he's on the ball. And he's young, and that's so exciting. And to see him and Jeff Cameron play together, if they can both stay healthy and Jurgen Klinsmann will be smart about trying to be consistent with, you know, at least 7 or 8 players he picks for every national team game in this World Cup qualifying, I would love to see that relationship grow and blossom.
All right, let me move you on now to Breck Shea. Orlando City scores a spectacular goal with his left foot. Everybody's talking Breck Shea again. We do know this is a talented young man. He's only 26 years of age. He's local in a sense that he's from the Collins Station, Brenham area. We do know he's athletic enough to get up and down the left flank. Is this kid going to blossom into one of the players that we're going to consistently talk about for the U.S. national team one day? You know, the time is kind of now for him. I do know he's had some injuries, but the time is kind of now at 26, isn't it?
I'm probably going to say that people are going to disagree with me, but I'm going to say no. I think Breck Shea has plateaued. That goal last night was great. But if you talk to, you know, current and past teammates, coaches, people that know him, he's so worried about bucking societal norms. And if, you know, you look at his Instagram page and you look at his hair and all
these things. Whoa. You criticizing the man bun?
Listen, it's not just the man bun. It's the times in the past that he's made it all these different colors and all these mohawks and the things he does and the way he dresses and the things he says. He is an unbelievable talent. He is so athletic and so gifted in all those categories, and he understands the game. He's a wonderful player. But I believe that he's way too worried about things that go on outside of his job to really reach his potential. I think he could be the perfect right back behind left back behind Fabian Johnson for the U.S. national team. But I don't think he's focused enough on being a professional, acting professional 24 hours of the day. And I don't know the guy. This is speculation on my part, but I've spoken to a lot of people that do know him very well, that have played with him, that have spent years in locker rooms with him. And I think where we see Breck Shea right now is where he will remain.
Could he have a revelation? Could he have a moment where all of a sudden the game becomes more important to him and it becomes an even bigger focus and he gets maybe that little bit more hint of professionalism that maybe he so-called needs?
I don't know. In my experience in the past, my own personal experience with teammates, usually that kind of revelation, if it's needed, comes when you have your first child. And all of a sudden, your perspective on the world changes and your responsibilities change. He's got a kid, and nothing has changed. That's kind of my measuring stick, and those are things I look at, because that changed me. I was a child. I was, even when I was in my mid-20s, I was a child until I had my first child. And that made me grow up. I had to grow up, because as professional athletes, we live in a fantasy world. And now with the money that is being paid to these MLS players, we live in a fantasy world, and it's hard. You don't have a lot of the realistic life experiences that most people have, being 22 years old and eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for every meal because you're still in your, you know, your first internship trying to get a job. I mean, we don't live like that. I don't know. I hope so. I hope so, because I do believe that Breck Shea has the potential to be that starting left back behind Fabian Johnson, and, you know, it could be extremely beneficial from an attacking standpoint for the U.S. But right now, I don't see him developing into that because of all of these things that go on outside of soccer with him.
Yeah, it's interesting. When he comes up with these big plays, all of a sudden everything blows up on social media.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see what he does in the next couple of games and see if he truly does get a Copa Centenario call-up for the United States and Jurgen Klinsmann. All right, before I let you go, Eddie, let's have a couple of quick questions here. Two questions on the Dynamo Seattle game. Is there a place in the starting lineup for this one with Boniac Garcia, with him in such great form? This is kind of a champagne problem right now for Owen Coyle.
It has to be. There has to be. I think when you look at Boniak's performances over the previous two Houston Dynamo games, and then his performance with Honduras last week, you saw the goal he scored. This is the Boniak that we saw first show up in Houston and absolutely tear teams apart and bring a different dimension to the Houston Dynamo attack. I think that he deserves to play.
Where would you play him?
After the last game, I would probably give Andrew Wenger a little bit of a break, and I'd put him out on the right. And I would let Andrew Wenger get a little break. I think Andrew Wenger was ineffective. He was unbelievable. Obviously, one of the best players in MLS over that period of March. But I think that last game, he struggled a little bit. And
now, just for the record, Eddie, what we did find out, you and I found out after that game was that he was sick before that game. He had diarrhea and some things going on did affect his performance.
If that's the case, Glenn, the coaches come in to you and say, can you go tonight? Can you give me 100%? And if you say yes, you must perform at 100%. If you do not, you cannot make the excuse that you are sick. So if he did not perform because he was sick, that's okay. But you have to be honest in that situation.
Yeah, I don't think he was dishonest. I think sometimes coaches also pick players. They may be the necessary choice, even if they aren't 100%. You know that.
Well, but most of the time, you're going to pick them on current form. And the way Andrew Wenger played the first three games of the season,
exactly,
he's going to be able to give you 100%. He's one of the first couple names on the team sheet, absolutely without question. But let's be honest, he was not that Andrew Wenger from those previous games. So I think this is a situation where, and we talk about the Dynamo depth and that you have to be good every single game because there is someone behind you in every single position that could step in. This is a situation for Owen Coyle to further establish what he's already done this year and say, you know what, Andrew, you had a bad game, so I'm going to play Boniak. Nothing against you, but you had a bad game, so now we're going to use our depth, and Boniak plays. And if Giles Barnes is healthy, and you're going to play him on the left wing. Lionel Miranda was good, but I don't think he brings what Giles Barnes does. This is, like you said, it's a champagne problem. But for me, Boniak absolutely 100% should be in the lineup.
Well, it's going to be interesting. These are the decisions that Owen Coyle will have to make, and he is the manager. Eddie, as always, thank you very much. I'll let you get back to the barbecuing and grilling down there. Can't wait to come over and try some of that great food sometime.
Oh, yeah, we're making gumbo tonight, buddy.
You know, I never thought there'd be someone in the world that enjoys food as much as I do. But Eddie
That's
Robinson, I do believe. I do believe you do. Yeah, that really is our bond. Eddie, as always, thank you very much. Look forward to seeing you soon on our next Root Sports broadcast.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, that's the one and only Eddie Robinson joining us here on Soccer Matters. Here, a quick word for Amigo Energy, proud to sponsor this show. Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. And Amigo Energy is the place for news and discussion about the global game right here on Soccer Matters. Amigo Energy reminds you to get over here, get involved, call into the show at 713-780-3776. Amigo Energy has served Texas electricity customers for over 10 years. They're pioneers in deregulated electricity. They can save you money. Amigo Energy offers a variety of products and services for residential or commercial customers. Amigo Energy has programs, pricing that fits your budget. Get over there, save money. They're innovative. Get to their different types of products and services that you can use to improve your energy situation. It's www.amigoenergy.com, www.amigoenergy.com, 888-995-9299. Get to Amigo Energy. Sign up, switch, save money.
Hey, I don't mind.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. A quick word here for the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, they are personal injury attorneys, personalized approach,
You can get in contact with them at 713-588-0383. That's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They treat every case as if it is their own. Car, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant and refinery, 18-wheeler accidents. They will fight for your right for compensation. It's DaspitLaw.com, working for you 24/7, nights and weekends, for your right for compensation. Joining us now from the Houston Dynamo, midfielder Oscar Boniac Garcia, Oscar Edgar Velez of the Houston Dynamo, helping us translate. Thank you for being on the program, Oscar.
Bienvenidos, Oscar. Gracias por atender acá al programa.
No, de nada. Estamos a la orden.
So first question is just how important was the goal, Boniac, that you scored for Honduras against El Salvador in World Cup qualifying?
Oscar, ¿qué fue la importancia del gol que anotó contra El Salvador acá en la última ronda de la calificación para la Copa Mundial?
Pues la verdad que fue lo que nos abrió la oportunidad de abrir el cerrojo de El Salvador, ya que no podíamos anotar gol. Creo que el primer tiempo tuvimos varias opciones, pero bueno, gracias a Dios en el segundo tiempo se pudo abrir el marcador y qué bien por mí, que fue gol mío.
It gave us the opportunity to really break down their defense. They were pretty tough. They held up pretty well, but after that goal, they loosened up a little bit, and it was key. It was key in just opening up the game for us moving forward.
Boniac Garcia joining us here on ESPN 97.5. There is a real responsibility, it seems, that goes with your game, Oscar, whenever you put on the Honduras national team jersey. Can you just tell us what it feels to put on the jersey and represent your countrymen?
Oscar, ¿qué significa para ti ponerte la playera de tu país, de Honduras?
Creo que bastante importante. Creo que es un significativo muy grande llevar la camisa de nuestra selección, y en este caso Honduras, y creo que es un orgullo para mí portar siempre la camisa de la selección. Creo que desde pequeño siempre lo anhelé y agradecido con Dios por la oportunidad que me dio.
Very important to me. I mean, I'm very honored to wear this jersey. It's something I've dreamed about since I was a little kid, and it's something that I'm very grateful to be able to do now as a professional.
Oscar Boniac Garcia joining us here, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Also, a great help here from translator Edgar Velez, who works for the Houston Dynamo. The goal, there was some honoring there of Arnold Peralta, who was killed in Honduras, your teammate. What did the goal mean, and how did you honor your teammate Arnold Peralta?
Oscar, nomás hablando sobre la manera que se dedicó el gol al jugador con cual jugaba usted. ¿Qué significa pues hacer ese gol y luego dedicárselo al jugador que falleció?
Pues la verdad que ya lo teníamos planeado. Creo que quien echara el gol, pues esa era la idea, dedicárselo a un gran compañero que luchó por la camisa de selección y lastimosamente no está con nosotros. Y pues de mi parte significó mucho haber anotado el gol y dedicárselo a él hasta allá donde está él en el cielo.
Well, this was planned. Whoever was going to score, we already knew how we were going to celebrate. It's important just due to the magnitude or what he meant to us as a team and just for everything he accomplished with the national team. So very grateful that I got to score that goal and do that for him.
Oscar, in this moment, it seems like it seems like there are some shackles off your shoulders now. It just seems like you're healthy, you're enjoying your football, and the three performances you've had for the Houston Dynamo, you've been excellent. It's carried over to the national team. What's the difference this year? Is it purely just about not having injury?
Oscar, ¿qué ha cambiado dentro de esta temporada y el año pasado, donde a lo mejor no tenía cierto ritmo, y este año que sí mantiene un cierto ritmo, está jugando, está anotando? ¿Qué es la diferencia en el último año de cómo hasta ahora que está jugando?
No, pues la verdad que no hay más lesiones, no hay dolores musculares, que fue algo que me afectó bastante el torneo anterior. Creo que hice una excelente pretemporada con el equipo y creo que eso me ha ayudado bastante bien. Creo que ponerme bien en estado físico, creo que me ha ayudado para estar rindiendo de la mejor manera, tanto aquí con el equipo, que es lo primordial, y después cuando me toca ir con la selección. Esperemos seguir rindiendo a lo largo de este año.
Well, like you said, right now I don't have any pain. I'm not plagued by any injuries. I've had a great preseason, a full preseason, and it's helped me out a lot. Both here, when I play here and with the national team, I feel a little different, and it's hopefully it will continue.
Is there a new interesting system being put in place? Is this more attack-oriented team, something that is making the Dynamo now more interesting, not only to the fans, but also to Oscar Boniac Garcia and the players, the new attacking style.
Boniac, sobre el sistema técnico que quiere implementar el director técnico Coyle, ¿qué ha cambiado? Se mira que es más ofensivo, que es un fútbol pues, que propone más a ese nivel.
Pues la verdad que se ha mostrado en los diferentes partidos. Creo que por ahí hemos tenido una fortaleza en el ataque, pero defensivamente estamos fallando. Creo que nos falta defender más, agruparnos más para defender más nuestra valla, pero ofensivamente creo que se ha visto el interés de tanto el técnico como nosotros los jugadores a captar las órdenes de él en los movimientos a la ofensiva. Creo que llegar con bastante gente y bueno, está demostrado la cantidad de goles que llevamos.
Well, it's been on display in the last few games. You've seen a much more offensive style of soccer, but we also need to work on our defensive play and just how we approach that part of the game. We see this new initiative from our coach, and us as the players want to go ahead and implement it, and it's paid off, as you can see, through some of the games that we've scored multiple goals in.
Boniac Garcia joining us here on ESPN 97.5. Our thanks to him and Edgar Valise for translating here. Seattle and Los Angeles, back-to-back, two very good teams, two difficult teams in Major League Soccer. I know it's early in the season, but how important are these two home games here to get results now?
Bueno, tenemos dos juegos importantes contra Seattle y contra Los Ángeles, dos equipos de alto nivel. ¿Qué importante es mantener o sacar tres puntos de cada partido?
Estamos en casa y quieras o no, no podemos dejar ir puntos en nuestra casa. Tenemos que sacar los 6-6, tenemos que hacernos sentir en nuestra casa y va a ser bastante importante ganar los dos juegos ante dos equipos, como tú ya lo dices, denominados grandes, pero bueno, estamos en esta casa y nos vamos a hacer sentir aquí.
Well, these are our home games, and we can't let any point escape. We have to play our style of football, and we understand these are very high-caliber rivals, and we'll respect them, but this is our house, and we expect to win.
Boniac, what do you do for fun? I know you're with your children, and you have your family. I know you're a real family man. What are some of the things you like to do in your spare time? Away from soccer.
Bueno, cuando no estás jugando al fútbol, ¿qué es lo que se hace para divertirse o para relajar?
Pues compartir con mis hijos. Creo que es una dicha que me ha dado Dios y creo que estar disfrutando con ellos todo el día, con mi hija cuando viene a la escuela y bueno, con ellos trato de compartir durante parte del día y estar tranquilo con ellos.
Well, I'd say that I really enjoy my time with my kids, my family. I take them to school and just overall spend as much time as I can with them.
Is he? Are you a tough father?
Could you repeat that again?
Are you a tough father? Is he a tough father?
Ah, si es un disciplinario. Si usted mantiene así pues la disciplina en la casa, Oscar.
No, mi esposa mantiene la disciplina en la casa.
He says that no, it's the wife who's the authoritative figure.
Well, with that we'll end, and it's always great to hear Boniac Garcia laughing. Oscar, thank you very much for your time. Edgar, thank you for your time. We appreciate both of you being on the program.
You're welcome.
Thank sure. you, Oscar. Thank you, Edgar. And a quick word right here now for Boniac Garcia coming on the show. That's great. Quick word here for Amigo Energy. They're proud sponsors of Soccer Matters. Amigo Energy loves supporting Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, which is the place for news and discussion about the global game. Amigo Energy has served Texas electricity customers for over 10 years. They are a pioneer in deregulated electricity. Amigo Energy offers a ton of products and services for residential or commercial customers. Amigo Energy, programs and pricing that fit your budget. You want to save money? I do. Go to AmigoEnergy.com. Again, that's AmigoEnergy.com. Sign up for affordable electricity for your home and business. Take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Break courtesy of Bud Light 7-Up.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And as promised, we've got the number one female soccer player in the world, Carly Lloyd, also of the Houston Dash. She joins us now. Carly, thank you very much for taking the time out to join us.
Yeah, no problem. Always good to chat with you guys.
Well, let's see. The first thing I think we would say is, I mean, it's just unbelievable the stratosphere that you've blown into from a celebrity standpoint as well now. How difficult has this kind of been, and has this been difficult to manage? I would imagine the media requests, the attention, everything really much different.
Yeah, it's actually been really challenging. I think the travel has been really tough, and I really haven't stopped for 9 months since the World Cup all happened, and it's one of those things where, you can't have it all. I couldn't be training nonstop and, putting demands on my body and then being in different appearances and doing all that I was doing. So it was kind of the right timing to really kind of set myself up for the future and take full advantage of kind of everything that I've been working for over the years. And but it's been tough. And now I finally feel like I'm, feeling like myself. I'm getting back into my routine and, putting my body through the proper training and no longer, rushing to go to an appearance and then rushing to go find a time to work out. I'm feeling good, and I obviously have, 4 or 5 months to get ready for Rio, so.
The qualifying tournament, I thought I saw you quoted saying this wasn't your personal best soccer. And I would assume that part of what we just talked about, all the demands put on you, might have affected you. Could you feel that in those games?
I think that, I think the biggest challenge has been just feeling kind of mentally zapped. Mm-hmm. This team has never won a World Cup and then had to prepare for an Olympics and Olympic qualifying right off the bat. So it was tough. We had our 10-game victory tour that brought us into December, and then January was a long, tough camp, and then February was a long qualifying tournament. And, I don't think that I was World Cup sharp, but you can't always be World Cup sharp every single year. I think, some of the best athletes in the world peak at the right moments and know when to fully turn it on. And, I'm not worried. I know that I've got plenty of time, and I'm always hard on myself. I always, want to do well. And with that, the tournament, we had the teams bunkering in and made it very hard to play. And our World Cup qualifying was way different than the Olympic qualifying. So, it's just been mentally tough and challenging. It's just another thing that I'm powering through and learning and really just taking full advantage of what has come my way, but also knowing that, I have to continue to get back to work and continuing to improve.
Number one female women's soccer player in the world, Carly Lloyd, also of the Houston Dash here in Houston, Texas, joining us right now. And I guess on top of that, this is sort of an ever-changing team right now with, with the retirement of some of the all-time greats, including Abby Wambach, and now some youth coming to the forefront here. It seems also a very exciting time for the U.S. women's national team.
It does. I've had a number of people, come up to me and tell me that this is what they think has been the best soccer that's being displayed on the field. And, it's great. We've got some younger players mixed in with some veteran players. And now we just have to kind of put it all together and put it all together when the time's right in August. But it's exciting. I think there's really some good things happening, and I'm excited to be a part of it and excited to kind of take on a little bit of a different role higher up on the field and just really, help the team in any way possible.
Let's talk a little bit about Mallory Pugh, only 17 years of age. This is a girl that has kind of come through the system in a great way, I think, as an example that it doesn't always have to be the status quo when you come through. Then Ashley Sanchez, who's also 17, has been added. So, there is some great youth that Jill Ellis is really bringing in that has added excitement.
Yeah, I think when Jill took over, obviously there wasn't much time before the World Cup to really experiment with different players. You know, she had to put together a team, and you know, it was a big deal. The World Cup was a big deal, and I think now with obviously some players retiring, it's really given her kind of the freedom to you know, really bring in some new players, some younger players, and Mallory's done really well. I think, you know, you don't often see a player that young coming in and being seasoned. You know, obviously a credit to the youth national teams. I think being a part of that has definitely helped with some players, you know, like her and even Morgan Bryan and Lindsey Horan playing overseas. So I think, you know, overall it's good to see, and Jill obviously is looking towards Rio, but at the same time wants to continue to think 2019, and now is the time to really get these players groomed and ready.
Some really important matches coming up, because the level of competition on the 6th of April and 10th, you will play Columbia and Hartford, and then obviously in Chester, Pennsylvania, you'll play Columbia again. We all remember that June 22nd match where you had one of the goals in the round of 16. This was kind of a revelation game, a turning point sort of game prior to the next one. You and Alex Morgan scored. But I would assume there's a real seriousness, not that there wasn't before, but going into a game with this type of competition in Colombia.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's another great opportunity for us to play against a quality opponent, and not just once, but twice. And with Colombia obviously being in the Olympics, it's great for us. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be two great matches, and they are a great team. I'm not sure what they've been doing up until this point, but they had a great World Cup and did really well. And I especially, you know and are good friends with Yureli Rincon, the number 10 on Colombia. So it'll be good to see her in action. So yeah, we're thrilled and looking forward to it.
Talk about Colombia, because, you know, you're in the middle of this, you're playing games every year, and you see the progress of countries around the world and their growth in the game. I mean, everybody was wowed by the technical ability of Colombia, how competitive they were with the United States. Has it been pretty fascinating for you as a player, as you've gone along in your national team career, measuring sort of the advances some of these other countries have made in leaps and bounds, it seems?
Yeah, it's what we want. I think when you look back at the quality of play, you know, 10 years ago, it wasn't where it's at now, and that's what we like to see. We want to see the play get better. We want it to be competitive, and we saw that, you know, this past summer in Canada from so many different teams really stepping up their game. And now my only concern is you know, that these teams continue to get the funding and support that they need, because without that, it's really tough. I mean, we have full support from our federation, and without that, you know, we wouldn't have been able to be as successful as we are. I mean, we have the best of the best. You name it, we have it. And so we want to see other countries' federations jumping on board and really taking more care and just support some of the women's teams. But it's been great. You know, there's no longer the days of the U.S. rolling in and beating teams 4-5-0. It just doesn't happen anymore like that, and that's what we like to see.
Carly Lloyd, U.S. national team, also the Houston Dash here in Houston, joining us. Delran, New Jersey, 30 miles away from Chester. That's where you'll play Columbia. You went to Rutgers. You know, the only thing I share in common with you, because you're technically a lot better soccer player than I ever was, is that we are from the Garden State, and I know you love New Jersey. I would have to think this is going to be a special moment for you in Chester.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think within a few weeks, the game has already sold out. So there's high demands back in Jersey, Philly area. It'll be great to play in front of so many, you know, friends and family and local fans that are coming out to support us. You know, really haven't played in front of everybody for a while now, and since post-World Cup. So it'll be as if it's a homecoming, and I'm really looking forward to it. And, you know, just thrilled that so many of my friends and family are able to come and be a part of it.
Carly, how surreal was it for you when you're standing up there next to Lionel Messi, you know, at this big global soccer celebration, honoring the best of the best? Because I just thought it was a spectacular moment. I thought you looked great up there standing next to Messi. I mean, I just wonder if, were you able to take it all in, or was it a bit of a blur? What was it like?
You know, it was a quick trip over there. It was amazing. It was one of the best moments of my life besides winning a World Cup. You know, very, very happy that Messi won, selfishly. I was thrilled to be standing up there next to him. He's one of my favorites and just have a huge amount of respect for him as a person and player. The evening was, you know, it was just a night to remember, something that I'll never remember, to be in a room full of so many amazing footballers, was a dream come true. And yeah, I don't think that it hit me necessarily, until I got up there and heard my name and started my speech. But, it's been something that I've been training for forever. And, I think now, you know, the hard part is, just continuing to push on. I mean, it was great. The experience was great. But I want to be back there, you know, next year. And I think that's the focus now.
Is it hard to develop the hunger now, since, you know, you went into uncharted territories? I mean, not that you weren't a great player before, not that you had scored goals in Olympics, but you went into, you know, you took it another step higher, if that was possible. Is it easy to see how all these outside influences could maybe dull the sword a little bit of competition?
I think for some, but I think for some of the greats and some of the more competitive players that just have this burning desire to want to always succeed, I don't think it's hard. You know, for me, I would say the hardest challenge just has been, you know, being all over and doing all these appearances and really kind of taking on that whole new world. But the soccer bit of it, being hungry, I mean, you know, I'm hungrier more than ever now. I'm feeling good and feeling ready and feeling back to myself. So I think that it just depends on the type of person you are. Many people have asked me, you know, how do you come back from this? How do you do something greater than what you just did? And my answer is always that I'll be better than this. 2016 Summer Olympics, I plan to be better than I was at the World Cup. And it's just kind of that never-ending cycle of wanting to continue to keep doing well.
She's Carly Lloyd joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. One or two more questions, Carly, we'll let you go. Just through all the travels and appearances, you've done some pretty fun and interesting things. Anything that jumps out to you as being the most fun on these sort of appearance tours and going on programs that jumps out to you, that you had the most fun with, maybe?
Yeah. I think what's been really amazing is just meeting so many other successful people in different walks of life. I think that's what's really been amazing. I mean, obviously meeting Messi was one of my favorites, and being at the Ballon d'Or, meeting some of, you know, these iconic players, Iniesta is one of my favorites. But also meeting somebody like Peyton Manning and John Elway, and getting to meet them. I mean, these are players that I have a total amount of respect for. And I'm not the type of person who gets, you know, in awe of seeing certain people and meeting different people, but I've just been able to soak it in and just really been able to just, you know, meet these successful people who are kind of living the same life that I am, you know, just fully invested in what they do and want to be great. And it's just been really fun to experience.
With Randy Waldrum and the Dash, I know things are being placed together this year. I know it's very difficult with an Olympics on the way out, but how's things been going with the Dash, and are you excited for also the upcoming NWSL season?
Yeah, I am. I know that, you know, we've all been kind of nonstop with the national team, but I'm starting to get, you know, really amped up for the season. You know, obviously being here in Houston for the week and training with the team has really gotten me excited. I really like some of the players that we have and what Randy's trying to implement, the philosophy and how we're going to play. So, you know, it's just another opportunity to get games under my belt before we go to Rio, compete, do well. You know, the league's important to me. The Dash are very important to me. And, you know, the goal is to make playoffs this year.
Any favorite restaurant in Houston?
I like local foods.
Yeah.
I've been eating there quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I ate at, when we were in town, the Pele, I believe, which is excellent. I've got to try some other Mexican spots that I've been referred to when I get back from the National.
I'm going to give you one before I let you go. Ugo's on Westheimer.
Okay.
Ugo's.
I think I've seen
H-U-G-O-S.
All right, I'll have to check that out.
It's a good one. Listen, Carly, thank you very much for your time. Best of luck with the matches with the U.S. and Colombia. Excited that you're here in Houston. I think we all are, and we're very fortunate that you're here, and I think all the fans and locals are loving it as well as everybody across the country. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Take care.
All right. That's Carly Lloyd joining us here. All right. That'll do it tonight for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Again, a reminder, the Daspit Law Firm, it's daspitlaw.com. They're personal injury attorneys. They have a personalized approach. You can call them at 713-588-0383. They treat every case as if it is their own. Car, boat, motorcycle, industrial construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler. It's datspitlaw.com, working for you 24/7. Fight for your right for compensation. It's datspitlaw.com. For Tyler Scott, Derek Pittman, I'm Glenn Davis. Thank you very much for tuning in. Get the podcast at podcastarena.com and on iTunes.
ESPN 97.5.